Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We're going to do something a bit different this morning. We're going to have a seminar on healing. Because I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. Now, there's been a certain emphasis on healing the last few weeks, and we've had one or two times in the church and at camp where we know God was healing people. But we would all agree, I'm sure, that we need better results. Amen. And I use that word deliberately because if Jesus says, by their faith, people will be healed. And that whatever we ask in prayer, we will receive if we believe. The result that you get from putting those scriptures together is that faith produces results. And if Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them, that's another way of saying, by the results you will know them. So, we praise God for all that he is doing. We praise God for every person that's been healed. I had, Sunday before last, I prayed for a lady at the end of the service, and she came last Sunday to say that God had healed her of a condition that she'd had for many, many years, I think most of her life. Well, you know, we praise God, but there's so many more that need to be healed. Now, I'm going to say some things which you probably know and some things which you need to be reminded of. Perhaps there may be a few bits of fresh revelation. But what is important is putting all this together so that we've got a sort of a comprehensive view of what God desires to do through his healing purposes. Now, we're going to come to the Word in a moment because everything really depends upon seeing the outworking of the Word of God. But I want to share with you just two personal things that have happened in the last few weeks for me concerning healing. The first was that we had a brother from the revival in Argentina who was helping with the children's work at camp. And he gave me a disc with a book on it by Tommy Hicks. Now, some of you may not know who Tommy Hicks is. Well, Tommy Hicks was the man that God used in the early 1950s to kick off the Argentinian revival. Really, you could say the revival in South America. Since the 1950s, there have been seasons of revival in that nation, sometimes more strong than at other times. And, of course, Kingdom Faith has been related to some of the churches in Argentina especially, that have been part of that. And Tommy Hicks was one of the Americans, American evangelists, who in the early 1950s were all renowned for really remarkable healings. People like Oral Roberts and others you may have heard of. They all came out of this group of men who God was using in a mighty way. You could say, really, that the ministry of each of them was, I think, greater than anything we have experienced in recent years here. They were essentially evangelists, but understood that evangelism and healing go together in the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry of the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles. And so they need to go together now. Therefore, as we are talking about reformation, there needs to be certainly a reformation of evangelism in the whole church, in the whole orchard. Churches need to become much more evangelistic. Praise God for those that already are. But therefore, they need to see very much more of the healing power of God. Because the more you see the healing power of God, the more evangelistic you become. Because we know that it was the healings that attracted the crowds to Jesus. And that gave him the opportunity to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And we know also from the Gospels that a lot of people that were attracted by the healing didn't necessarily become disciples. Not all of them became believers. But it was out of really the excitement and expectation of what God would do when people came to meetings that really, if you like, drew and attracted people around the anointing that was taking place. And I've seen a certain amount of this in my own ministry. I mean, there's no doubt that back in the 70s, 80s, early 90s, many, many people were coming to our meetings because they expected many people to be healed, and they were. And over the course of the many years of my ministry now, there have been periods of time when I've seen much more healing than at others. That's also consistent with a lot of the experience of other people too, that these things, just like the revival in Argentina, these things happen in waves. Why that is, we don't need to take time to analyze now. But this book by Tommy Hicks challenged me to get back to the place of faith where once I was. I think this is one of the main causes why there are phases where God does more or not. They're linked very much to, if you like, the degree, the level of faith in which we're functioning at any particular time. And, you know, I can look back on periods of time when I knew that every person I prayed for would be healed. Most of them would be healed completely. All of them would receive at least a measure of healing, which would have given them enough faith and impetus to reach out to God for the rest of what he needed to do in them. And it is really all so simple. I mean, as I read this book of Tommy Hicks, I heard myself. And in the early years of my ministry, I knew nothing of Tommy Hicks. I knew nothing, actually, of that healing move of the evangelists in America in the 50s. I knew nothing about that. But I, you know, the guy was saying the very self-same things. Like, for example, we've got to be completely unequivocal about this. God's purpose is to heal everyone. I got an awful lot of stick when I said things like that, especially from pastors, you know, who were so used to praying for people that didn't get healed, that it was a real challenge to say, whenever we pray, people ought to be healed. Because this is what the scripture says. Now, there may be some wisdom needed there about the right time to heal, when right time to pray, when to pray and when not to pray. We'll perhaps talk about that a little later. But I was sort of greatly challenged by this. And just realize how it's very easy for us to miss the point. What I mean is this. In these last couple of weeks, I think we've all been helped, haven't we, when on that morning we just focused on Jesus. We just focused on Jesus. And in our prayer, there's just a kind of a refocusing on Him. Not our words, not our petitions, but just starting with Him. And with the business of healing, it's so easy for us to not to have our faith in Him, but to have our faith in our prayer. And we're concerned to pray the right words, to express the right kind of faith, to use the right phrases in the name of Jesus, for example. You see, you can do something in the name of Jesus without using the phrase in the name of Jesus. Some of the greatest healings I've said, there have been no words at all. There have been no words at all. Sometimes I haven't used the name or the phrase in the name of Jesus, but I've been doing it in the name of Jesus. See, that's the point. It's not the words. Our faith isn't in the words. Our faith isn't in our prayer. Our faith is in the one to whom we pray. And this is where we've got to understand that we are imparters. Now, Pete got his back healed last week. We all prayed, as we do. And I'm not saying that the healing was the result of anything, but I knew that God would heal Pete. And after we prayed, I just put my hand on his back and said, "There's your healing now." I knew that at that moment he was healed. Why? "Well, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. Here's your healing." And as I was reading this book of Tommy Hicks, he was saying, this is the key. Not all our prayers and our words, but that we believe that we have the authority, the power, just to give the healing. And he says, whether you use the phrases in the name of Jesus or not, will not affect the result. If actually we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Are you understanding me? The other thing that happened the other morning here in one of our prayer times is that as I was before the Lord, I saw a wound in his feet. Now, I often worship at the feet of Jesus and see the wounds. That's not too unusual a thing. But on this occasion, something strange. It might sound a bit weird to you, but some of the things God does are a bit weird. It was as if I was taken right into the wound. It was as if my whole being was in the wound. Because Jesus is so much bigger and greater than we are, aren't we? And as this was taking place, you know, there was that assurance, I'm in the place of total forgiveness, total acceptance, total healing, total wholeness. because that's what those wounds have actually secured for me and for all God's people. So I linked God doing that with sort of reviving this expectation, this revived or renewed expectation of the healing that I believe God is going to do among us in this coming season. Now, we know Jesus gave authority to his disciples. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, we can't compromise on that. Every disease and sickness. Part of the problem is we look with our eyes and we see major need and we think something major needs to happen to meet this major need. Whereas in fact, if we're in the place where I believe God wants to bring us, we could say, there's your healing to major need, just as much as a minor need. Because sometimes when we look with our eyes, we start evaluating how difficult the situation is, rather than realizing, well, if it's a cold, it's going to be Jesus. If it's cancer, it's going to be Jesus. If it's somebody in a wheelchair, it's going to be Jesus. And it's no more difficult for Jesus to get someone out of a wheelchair or to heal a cancer than it is to heal a cold. So there isn't a kind of order in which we can say, well, we'll start with the easy things and work up to the bigger things. Because if our trust is in Jesus, I mean, the first person I ever saw healed was a woman of terminal cancer. I praise God. That was the first time I'd ever prayed for anybody, you know, one-to-one to be healed, and God just did an amazing miracle. I can only thank God for that. I read testimony of others who prayed for months and months and months before they saw a healing. Well, I praise God for his mercy and his grace. But you see, the point is that if our faith is in Jesus, what we're believing is two things, what he has said and what he has done. What he has said, he has said. We don't have to add to it. We certainly don't need to subtract from it. And he watches over his word to perform it. What he has done, especially on the cross, he has done. So whatever is needed for the healing of any individual is already a finished and accomplished work. What we are called to do, therefore, is to apply that work. Now, because Jesus makes it clear that faith is so important, and when any two agree, it will be done, there needs to be faith in us as we minister healing to others. And I don't limit that to, you know, anybody, to any leadership, because believers will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's the point. The promise is that if we're believing when we lay hands on people, they will recover. Sometimes I think we have to acknowledge that God's idea of believing and our idea of believing are somewhat poles apart. And we think sometimes we're in a place of faith, whereas we're not in that place where we can just say, there's your healing. Receive it now. It's done. But of course, also, it is important, isn't it, that the people for whom we pray are also in a place of faith. Now, that is not necessary in an evangelistic situation, which is why it's much easier to heal non-believers than believers. When God is healing non-believers, he is demonstrating who he is and the presence of his kingdom. But when believers pray, God expects believers to believe. So it's very important for us to pray with people when they're in a place of faith. Now, I don't say that God will only heal people when they're in the place of faith, because in his mercy, he sometimes heals people when they're not. But, you know, this shouldn't be a kind of lottery where we pray for a lot of people and hope a few get healed this time. And, you know, we want to be in the place where we know that when we pray for someone, that person is going to be healed. And that person is in the place of expectation that they will be healed. Even at that moment. And I believe that faith is encouraged by sometimes demonstrating the healing power of God, having somebody forward and healing them before everybody else. Faith begins to shoot up when that happens. Normally speaking, I believe we should get into healing after the preaching of the word, because healing is one of the signs that follow the preaching. And the preaching of the word, of course, encourages faith. I ministered a lot of meetings where, you know, I don't know whether the local pastor or leader wants to try to demonstrate that he knows all about healing or whatnot, but, you know, they lead a time of healing and very little happens. And then after I preach the word, we get into healing and a lot happens. And the difference is not just because I've been there, but the difference is because I preach faith and faith is operating, and therefore you see a lot more happening. Now, there are exceptions. I can think of one meeting on a Sunday morning in a city in Switzerland, where all the churches had come together. And I was told a lot of the dignitaries of the city were there. It was they were having some kind of festival or something, and I was asked to preach. And as I was praying, God laid upon my heart the need of a particular person. And I said what this need was, asked the person to come forward, happened to be a woman, prayed for her, and she was completely healed. I learned after the meeting that this was the mayor of the city, highly respected woman throughout the whole city. Now you see, that's God doing something that is going to make everybody sit up and take notice. Because, of course, as all the churches were there on this occasion, there were a lot of churches that weren't into healing, weren't even into the things of the Spirit at all. So what better way to get people's attention than to do something like that? But you see, that's responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And whenever we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we always know that the Spirit will tell us what he's going to do, not what he wished would happen. The Holy Spirit never leads us into wishful thinking, only into what God intends to do there and then. Now, whether we need revelation to receive healing or not, we'll tackle that in a moment. But let's just look at what it is written in Isaiah 53. We know it well, but surely he took up our infirmities. So we have to ask ourselves, did he take up all our infirmities or only some of them? Was the work of the cross a partial work or was it a complete work? Surely he took up our infirmities, carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And that's why I believe God gave me that experience of almost being taken into his wounds. By his wounds, not we will be, but we are healed. Our problem, our big problem with healing is whether we're going to believe God's word or our experience. Because the experience of all of us is less than God's word. If we believe on our experience, we would say God's will is to heal sometimes. And that's why I got such flack from so many pastors, as did Tommy Hicks or anybody that has really preached healing. They want to say, no, we've got to know that it is the will of God to heal before we can be sure that he will heal. But God has already declared his will. So people have said to me, we've got to know that it's God's sovereign purpose. But the word declares his sovereign purpose. Now, revelation can bring people through to a place of faith. But if you say, do we need revelation, some particular specific revelation in order to be healed? The answer is definitely no. If we stand on the word of God, if we stand upon who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us on the cross, that is grounds enough for us to believe that we will be healed, this person will be healed. Because whatever healing takes place is on the grounds of this truth. It's the outworking of this truth. That by his stripes we're healed. In the truth version, yet he took upon himself all our diseases and suffering. Even so we thought of him as being punished by God, deliberately made to suffer affliction. But it was our sins that truly caused him to be pierced. It was our disobedience that made it necessary for him to be crucified. He suffered our punishment on our behalf so that we could have peace with God. It is because of the lashes he received that we are healed. Now, I believe that as Jesus was lashed, you know, my understanding is that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, those 3 hours of prayer, all sin was being laid upon him, which is why he was praying with such intensity. When he was being lashed, all those lashes, all our pain, all our sicknesses, all our infirmities were being laid upon him. Which is why by the end of that lot, he didn't have the energy to carry his own cross to Calvary. But as he hung on the cross, it wasn't that then, as he hung on the cross, all the sin and all the sicknesses had been laid upon him. That had already happened. And then his wounds that he suffered there produced the healing. But anyway, that's just my understanding. So, how are we to proceed in practice? When is it right to pray for someone to be healed? Now, I'm going to talk about dealing with people one-to-one for the moment, because that's the situation in which all of us are involved at certain times. Not all of you will be leading meetings where you have words of knowledge and all of that kind of thing. But we're all in the situation where we heal one-to-one. Now, Just because somebody asks you to pray for healing, is it right, therefore, to pray for their healing? Answer, not necessarily. Well, if the healing has already been accomplished, why not? Because when people came to Jesus, he asked them questions. And he asked them questions to see where they were in terms of faith. Do you believe I'm able to do this? What he was really saying is, do you believe that I will do it now? Or what do you believe? And that faith came in different forms. If only I can get to touch him, I will be healed. Speak the word only and I will be healed. Come and lay your hand on her and she will live. But each of those statements was a statement of faith. Even Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, was the expectation that God would be merciful and heal Bartimaeus. So when Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want my sight back. Simple as that, I want my sight back. He came to Jesus with the expectation that he would receive his sight. Why when people came to my meeting, Tommy Hicks meeting, anybody's meetings, why does so much healing happen? Because people come with expectation. Some of them may just come in hope. I hope it'll happen this time. If not, I'll go to the next meeting when somebody else is ministering and hope it will happen then. And they'll probably go to a lot of meetings without getting healed. But there are other people that come with expectation. This is it. I'm going to receive my healing. So when we pray for someone one-to-one, we want them to be in that place where we can see that they believe, I'm going to receive my healing now. Now, just bear with me a bit, see? Because there's some very subtle things, right? Do they want you to pray for them, or do they want you to heal them? See, it's very interesting what people say. Will you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you, but praying for you is not necessarily to heal you. And your faith is not necessarily that you will be healed. I believe God wants to release in the church here and wherever, actually, the faith in people that they will not ask for prayer, they'll ask for healing. I want to receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Now, I've learned to do what Jesus did and to ask people questions. Well, if I pray with you now, what will God do? Meaning, what will he do now? I hope that he will heal me is not faith. You can save your breath, really. Because what you need to do is to bring some revelation from the Word of God that is going to inspire faith before you pray. You want a faith answer, not a hope answer. Now, you see, you might think, well, wait a minute, you're trying to make it complicated. No, I'm trying to make it as simple as Jesus made it. That healing should be simple, even of major things like Jesus was healing. You know, paralyzed people, blind people, deaf and dumb people. Should be very, very simple. It should be a few words. Get up and walk. Be opened. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace, you are healed. It should be as simple as that. I'm not saying that it should be complicated, but it will be simple when we see that the situation is right. So, you know, we shouldn't be... Let me put it this way. If when we're ministering healing on the Sunday, whether it's through words of knowledge or however we're doing it, laying hands on things, if everybody believed that they had actually been healed, everyone would go and write out an orange card and it would be there the following week. They wouldn't wait to see what has happened. Are you with me? You see, faith is knowing. Faith is knowing because faith is in what God has done. It's not faith in what we hope will happen. So if people are in a place of faith and they come and say, you know, I want to receive my healing, they're saying, I want to receive what Jesus has already done for me. So we are not trying to make something happen. I mean, you know, I've gone through all kinds of phases with this over the years, where I thought it was down to me to try to make something happen. And then, you know, the Lord telling me, you can't make anything happen. It's all got to be through what I do in response to the faith of my children. So it's bringing people into that place of faith, isn't it? I mean, you've heard lots of testimonies that I've given in. I don't want to have to go through all the same, because I often repeat the same testimonies because there are particular testimonies which, from which we can learn so much. It isn't that those are the only things or the greatest things that I've seen, because they aren't, but there's been certain things, you know, from which we can learn. Spend just 2 or 3 minutes sometimes showing people the word, speaking words of faith, because faith comes from hearing. So even if there isn't that expectation to receive healing now, that God will build that faith and pray. You know, sometimes I've said to people, look, I'm not going to pray for your healing now, but I'm going to pray that God will inspire faith in you for your healing. I learned to do that right at the very beginning of my ministry back in the early 70s when, you know, I saw one miracle after another, but normally speaking, I would send people away with words, scripture, and get them to pray those words of scripture over their lives and come and present themselves, you know, to give ourselves, because the measure we give is the measure we get back. I believe, you know, it's so important that even when we're seeing people healed, that we're not saying just come and get, but come and give. Give your body to the Lord in order that it may be healed, because your body belongs to the Lord. He's paid the price for it. And, you know, we're to worship God with our bodies, holy and acceptable to the Lord, and all the rest. So if we can teach people to come giving, and you know, here we used to have teaching days, and about every 6 months we would have a healing day on a Saturday, and many, many, many people would be healed, because in the morning we'd teach, and I'd teach about how to give and how to prepare your heart, and then in the afternoon we would see many people healed. The point is that it's better to do the job in the right way so we get the right results than just to pray willy-nilly hoping that we get the right result. You see, because it doesn't help if someone's been prayed for 25 times and they're still not healed. Something's wrong, isn't it? Now, one of the things that we've got to face is, what is the relationship between sin and sickness? Now, clearly, there are some sins that cause sickness. Sexual sins, for example. Overeating, for example. Undereating, for example. And sometimes, because we're concerned about the welfare of the whole person, we have to address those issues. I remember, you know, I prayed for a woman who she had some problem she'd had for many years with her knees. And God completely healed her. And she came back about 6 months later and said, "It's all come back again." And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Ask her what the doctor said." So I said to her, "What has the doctor said about this?" "Oh, he says it's because I'm overweight." So I said, "Well, what do you need to do?" And she said, "Well, I suppose I need to lose weight." I said, "Go then and lose weight." You see, God is not going to I mean, in his mercy, he healed her first time. But she knew that she was overweight in the first time. And if she hadn't responded to what the doctor had been telling her then, if she'd only responded and lost weight, then the particular problem with her knees would not have returned. This isn't blinding science, is it? It's just a bit of common sense. What I'm saying is, if there is cause of sickness, we're not dealing simply with the sickness, we need to deal with the cause. And that's where the Holy Spirit, of course, is our helper, our counselor, because even when you pray with someone, he can inform you either that there is a cause or sometimes even tell you what that cause is. And you're only really going to get the thorough healing and wholeness that God wants if we deal with the cause and not just the symptoms of the cause. Are we getting this? So, you know, you've got to have the boldness. If you're going to pray for people to be sick, you've got to have boldness, right? And you've got to have boldness to confront whatever needs to be confronted in the situation. You can't gloss over and say, "Well, I'm going to pray." The easiest thing is somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" Just to pray for them and boom, boom, and you leave it at that. If they're healed, praise God. If they're not healed, well, I can't do anything about it because only Jesus can heal. I mean, attitudes like that are not going to get us anywhere because that's probably the kind of attitudes that many of us have had. What we want is to see, what we need to aim for is 100% results. Because that's what Jesus, it says in the word that Jesus healed all who came to him. So people will say to you, "Well, just the fact that someone has come is faith." No. Because I think that scripture means Jesus healed all who came to him in faith. Oh, I'm sure there were evangelistic opportunities that he used to heal just to show the kingdom is present. Now, sin, therefore, can cause sickness. So there's no point in us, in those situations, just praying about the sickness without addressing the sin that lies behind the sickness. And you see, this is the whole point about the wounds. Those wounds purify us. Purify us from all sin and purify us from all sickness. So I always taught people to come to a fresh confession of their sins before they ask to pray for the healing of their sicknesses. So they got a thorough cleansing of spirit, soul, and body. And actually to come, therefore, forgive me, repentance, what is repentance? Forgiveness and surrender. So come with fresh forgiveness, fresh surrender, and expect to receive your healing then. And you've heard me say before, I would put in my diary, okay, you will be healed at 3 o'clock next Wednesday afternoon. That's what I would say to people. And they came with that expectation, right? 3 o'clock next Wednesday, I'll be healed. Why not? So long as between that point when I said it and 3 o'clock on Wednesday, that person had come to a place of fresh repentance, confession, fresh surrender, came with expectation. Because what are they doing? They're appropriating the whole message of the cross, not just part of it. That they're getting healed in spirit, soul, as well as body. Are we there? But not all sickness is necessarily associated with sin, or certainly with known sin. There can be attacks from the enemy, there can be spirits of infirmity, there can be contagious diseases and all kinds of other things. So it isn't always the case that we have to, you know, equate the situation with, right, we've got to deal with the sin in order to deal with the sickness. But where there aren't those kind of issues, then it should be easier for people to be in the place of faith, because there's nothing, if you like, hindering that faith. Are you with me? So this is where our authority comes in. We have authority. Jesus said, what did he say to those disciples? He gave them authority to drive out evil spirits, including spirits of infirmity, and to heal every disease and sickness. Not some, but every. So, we've got to be careful that people don't, because many people think like this, especially if they were brought up with sort of Catholic-type theology, that their sickness is somehow a punishment for sin. And this is what people speak generally. How often have you heard people say, what have I done to deserve this? You see, there's an equation there. There must be something I've done that has resulted in this. Well, sometimes there is, and that you deal with that issue, as I've just said. But very often there isn't. So we can get straight in there with using the authority and the power that Jesus has given us. Now, in my experience, when you have that certain knowledge, there's absolutely no feelings involved. You don't feel full of power. You don't feel full of anything. And actually, when you pray, it's not a good thing to be filled with power, because what I found is that sometimes when I prayed with people, oh, I felt such power. And then I began to realize I'm feeling the power because they're not. There's something hindering the flow of the power from God. So it's building up in me, and it's not passing through to them. And I learned that that was okay. There's something here we got to deal with. And that's when you ask the Holy Spirit, okay, well, where do we go from here, Lord? What is it? What is it that's hindering the receiving? It should be, you know, like Peter and John. What I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Where there's that faith, where there's that authority, where there's that simplicity, it is like that. So why not heal someone in the supermarket? Because you don't need a band, you don't need the atmosphere, you don't need the build-up. You have the authority. And actually, in the supermarket, God's not going to take people through a whole sort of process, because obviously the circumstances are right. If God really impresses upon you, pray for this person to be healed. Or wherever you happen to be. Is this making sense to you? Okay. So, I want to be back in that place where I know every time I pray for someone, they're going to get healed. Not sometimes, every time. That was the challenge I received, it was like God saying, Colin, you've been there, get back there. Because this is part of my reformation purposes. Now, I don't believe God minds too much whether you say in the name of Jesus or whether you don't. What he is concerned about is to see the healing and to see the faith that is going to bring the release of his power to produce the healing. Okay, we'll take some questions in a moment, but just before we do, let's face one of the big difficult issues. What about those situations where people are really seriously crippled or seriously afflicted, especially with things like Alzheimer's and things like that, where they cannot be in a place of faith? What should our expectations be? Because I think by experience, we would always say that we know a number of situations like that. And we pray, and we pray. And perhaps things are a little better than they might have been if we hadn't prayed. But we're not sort of stunned by the results of our prayer, if we're honest. Is this some lack on our part? Is it because people can't necessarily participate in faith themselves? Is it that there has to be a time for everybody to die? Bit of a tortuous way sometimes to die. I can't believe that God wants people to lose their faculties before they die. I suppose, if we're honest, we would probably say we're in that place ourselves of praying for them rather than healing them. And that perhaps more would happen if we were ministering in such a way as, what I have, I give to you. Here it is. The only trouble with this is that we're dealing with God here, and you can't fool God. And we could say things like that and not necessarily believe them. So here's your healing, receive it, could become a formula. And it would work sometimes, but because it was a formula, it wouldn't work at other times. But every time you believe it, it would work. But you see, I believe that you only have the witness of the Spirit to say things like that when God knows the timing is right. Now, every situation is so totally different that we can't even talk about, well, what are the circumstances when the timing is right? That's down to the witness of the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is there are times, I've often over the years been asked to go into hospital to pray for people who are sort of a few hours short of glory. And sometimes I know, right, this is it. The Lord's going to take them. Praise God. So I'm not going to pray for healing. There are other times when I think this isn't right. This person needs to be healed. And they pray and they get healed. I had one situation where I was asked to go and pray for Granny who was just about to go to be with the Lord. And as I was standing by a bed, I thought, I don't know how to pray for someone to die. I only know how to pray for them to live. So I prayed for her to live and be completely healed. She was up and about, completely healed the following day. The only problem was I don't think the family ever forgave me. Because I think they were ready for Granny to go to be with the Lord. And they wanted her bedroom for one of the kids. So, anyway, the situation isn't always like that. But you see, I do believe that God will always honor our faith. You know? And, you've heard me give other testimonies about that. But he will always honor faith. He has to. Otherwise, he won't be true to his word. So when we don't see things happening, it's because faith is lacking. Now, why is faith lacking? Maybe it's our fault. In some situations, maybe the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness as to what God's purpose is in that particular situation. I don't think we can be dogmatic. I don't think we can give some sort of blanket explanation. We've just got to see. What it is God wants to do in every situation. I believe that's why we have the Holy Spirit. So these are just a few principles, but I believe the challenge that God is putting before us now is he's saying to us, I want the sick healed because I gave my life on the cross for them to be healed. This is what I want. It's not what you want. It's not what the sick people want. It's what I want. And I want to be glorified in your midst by all the healings that take place. And I want those healings to be a witness as to who I am and that my kingdom is among you. And I really believe that God is going to bring us into the place of demonstrable healings, where people see the healings happen. I mean, it's possible. I've seen twisted limbs straightened and arthritic hands. I've seen the knuckles reforming and things like that. God can actually do those things before your eyes. And why not? And then, last of all, there's our own issues, eh? Perhaps several of us need healing ourselves in one way or another. There's the problem. That's the thing. Oh, I need healing. I've been healed. I've got to appropriate what is done, not say to myself, I need healing. That's the difference in faith, isn't it? Mental attitude. So we're going to pray in just a moment, but we're not going to spend a long time in prayer. But I want you to respond really to this by saying to the Lord something like, Lord, bring me to that place of faith where I know I can impart in your name. You know, Jesus says you will not be heard for your many words. It's not going to happen because we've bound this and we've spoken to the mountain. We don't know. You have to do all that kind of stuff sometimes. But essentially it's going to happen because you believe what he says. He has given you authority. He has given you power. Use it wisely. Use it in response to the leading of the Spirit. If there's things that need to be confronted, confront them. People need to be encouraged in faith, encourage them. Okay, let's stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's praise him for the cross.
Thank you, Father.
Praise him for those wounds. Praise him that your healing is historic. Your healing is in the past, not the future. It's not that God will heal, it's that God has healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Poparazata paria leto bakala sitri sandama. Poparazata paria leto bakala sitri. I think we can do better than this, can't we? We can really praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.